Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you are, out here in BBS Radio Land. Wynn's out rounding up the people for the conference call, and he will be with us in just a minute. I'm actually quite excited because I found out that BBS Radio has a place in their archives to put up transcripts. And we have done transcripts of the major amount of the calls. So we're going to be sending transcripts to BBS Radio to be put up in the archive section. And they also have the audio in the archive section. Today is November 28, 2011, planet Earth, and Wynn and Terry are going to be broadcasting from Sedona, Arizona. The host of the show is Wynn Free, and my name is Terry Brown, and I'm the co-host of the show. Wynn picks a different topic every time. Sometimes there's a continuation of topics. One of the topics was DNA, and then he would ask the sources whom I would channel. Then could be a combination of the Elohim and the Ra group, called Ra'an, they call themselves. And they would bring answers in. So the information is really quite fascinating. Another topic he had was the topic of the origin of mankind. Creation is another topic. There was one topic on money and economics, and what to do in the falling economy.
Hey, we're listening to you.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi.
Are you on the line?
Yeah, you should tell people that if they want to read any of those things, we have a very sloppy web presence on it, and it deserves better, but we haven't done it yet. But we have the history of all our calls at thespiritchannel.net, okay? Thespiritchannel.net, and every time we send a call out on our list, it gets posted there. So there's a table of contents. There's the audios, the transcripts when they're sent out, and you're invited to browse that, look through the titles, and find a title that sounds appealing to you or that stimulates your curiosity, because a lot of the things we're bringing through, I don't know if it's ever been presented to mankind before. It's an unusual... Well, I tell people that you really have to evaluate this work. You have to evaluate it by how it impacts you, not by the claim that it might be. In other words, we have voices talking to us that say they created the physical universe, and how do you know that's true? You don't. But if you read them for a while, you can decide if it impacts you. One of the things about them is they don't really want you to be their follower. This is not a religion. This is not a belief system. This is an interactive, co-creative interaction between what it looks like is between dimensions, between us and beings in other dimensions that have our best interests at heart and that have a very hard time making themselves known in this realm. And so they may be making themselves known on these calls. So pay close attention and make your own decision. We had a couple people check in. We have a conference call connected to the BBS call. So when you hear those dings, that means someone new is coming into the conference call. And anyone, did I heard Chris in there. Did I hear Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Chris.
Hi Chris.
In Memphis. I'm watching, it's snowing here. It's snowing, yeah.
Snowing in Memphis. Okay. And who else is on the line?
Cindy in Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. And who else is on the line?
Edna, how are you?
Hi, Edna. Edna, good job on Sunday.
Yes.
And who else would like to say their name in the city?
Hi, it's Jean, South Dakota.
Hi, Jean. And who else?
Lisa, San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa. And who else?
Hi, Wynn.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne Reed, right?
Yeah, Wynn.
Okay. You know, people don't think I pay attention. But, you know, what was the title? I only sent the tonight's title out minutes before. Did you guys notice what the title of the talk was tonight?
What's Wynn got to do with it? Yeah.
What's Wynn got to do with it, right? Who said that?
Suzanne did.
Suzanne, what's Wynn got to do with it?
That's funny.
Well, you
I like
know,
the picture.
You like the picture?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who you're with.
I got to tell the story. Now everyone's going to have to go look at the picture, okay? And I'll tell you the story behind the picture, okay? Because it's kind of fun. Terry?
Yeah?
Were you finished your introduction?
Yes.
Sorry, we're coming in late. Terry is doing the transcribing, and she's saying, God, they always leave out my introduction. So, we'll see if we can fit that in. So, as usual, you don't know the topic for tonight, do you, Terry?
No, I don't.
Yeah. It's called, What's Wynn Got to Do With It?
That's a good one.
And, you know, occasionally I get emails from people that the tone, and I don't take this personally, okay? I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm confident in how this works, so I don't take it personally, but I thought I'd do a call and explain it for those people that have that thought in their mind, because some people are thinking, well, why don't you just get out of the way and just let them talk? why do you talk so much? And, I mean, Terry and Daphne, they're so pure, and on and on and on. And I wanted to share a little bit about my take on that and how this works, because it's not just me, it's you, it's us. And if you come from a background where, particularly if you've been a religious Christian, would you guys like to say your name and your city?
Hi, it's Raleigh from Fallbrook.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hi, Wynn.
And who else? We have a great silent one. You want to say anything?
I'm there with me, transfer phones.
Chris, you got some echoes with you. You got your special effects on. All right, I'm going to shut down the things.
Entry and exit chimes are on.
Okay, hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
If I look at myself and my history of this, and I remember, let me mute everybody. Anyone want to have a comment before you get muted?
Are you doing this on your laptop?
Am I doing this from my laptop?
Mm-hmm.
No, I am doing it from my BlackBerry.
Wow.
Okay, anyone else have a comment? Thank you. Was that Steve?
I'm into gadgets, man. I'm into every kind of gadget I can try to get my hand on. So,
all right. Anyone else have a comment? No.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you my experience. You know, you go back, and most of you know the story. Daphne started channeling, and Terry started channeling, and I am in what would be in the middle of a science fiction movie, and I've got these guys talking to me, and pretty early on, I said, what they're saying is really profound, okay? And, but how am I supposed to work this in the world? At the time, I was writing the book with with David Wilcock, and I don't think David was responding too favorably that I was having this experience. Here I am writing a book about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And initially, I remember I would call David up and said, David, what do you think about this? You know, I remember when I first started talking to David, it was like, oh my God, this is Edgar Cayce on the other line. I was totally intimidated. And until I found out he was very human and his outer expression was not relating to Edgar Cayce. It was just David. And so I started putting things up on the web. And I remember, I think maybe it was in 2003, I just decided I'll just put up a website. I'll put these things up. I think that website is still up. I don't refer to it anymore. But all of you listening tonight will get a chance to look at it if you want. But I said, I don't really want to be out there. I just want to put a website up and have everybody read these things. And I put a website up called, I said, what do I want to call it? God is speaking to us? The Elohim returns? No, I called it conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And I told the story, and I said, well, I'm going to have millions of visitors any moment, and people are going to be really interested in this. And nobody ever looked at my website. And I had these conversations, and nobody would show up. And at the time, I was writing the book on Wilcock, and I asked them, I had a conversation. I said, could you give me a recommendation on how this is supposed to reach people because no one's paying attention? And they said, talk to one person at a time and it'll get its own legs. And so I started talking to people. And I told the story last week of how people would sit next to me in Starbucks, and I'd tell them the story, and most of them would change their table quickly, except for Steve, who's on the line tonight. So, you know, as important as I was perceiving this might be, no one was interested. I'm sure you all know now, we don't have a very big presence here. After 8 years, maybe there's a couple hundred people listening to these calls, sometimes 20, 30, 40 coming into them. And I work a process which I call reverse engineering. I have to watch a pattern and see how it works and decide from observing the pattern how to understand it rather than believe it. And I recommend that all of you do the same thing. When you're working with your own patterns, watch it over and over again and see a pattern. And if you apply your mind, you may be able to figure out how it works. Well, when Daphne started channeling, I had no idea why this was happening to me, why they were choosing me to talk to. And it was a mystery. And then when Terry started channeling, the mystery continued. Why are they talking to me? It was like they were tracking me. You know, eventually I came up with two main reasons why that was taking place. One of them was, I'm going to let Terry give her feedback on this. There is an aspect of all of this which has to do with holograms. Oftentimes, I make the model of a human as being a body in the middle of an energy field. And that energy field, you can't see, it's invisible. You don't even know you have an energy field, yet you walk inside of it all the time. And I think the way that you can learn that you have an energy field, one way, I'm sure there's a lot of ways, but one way is when you come into the Sunday grid healings and you feel that energy on the call. And now you have something, it's a contrast that you can compare to the normal way you feel. And then you have to ask yourself, if you felt that, how does that happen? How does that work? That is part of reverse engineering, having an experience like that and asking, how does it work? And then I'll give an explanation, and you could say, that makes sense. That's a reasonable explanation for the way it works, and then consider it, and then you can adopt it if all systems say go. But apparently, I came into this realm with a fairly expanded energy field. I didn't know that. I'm just, you know, because I'm sitting inside of it, it just feels like who I am. And I do know for many years of my life, I had the experience of feeling trapped very easily. And I didn't understand it. But when I go back and look at it, I can say that when I was involving myself in normal realities, it felt like a trap because my energy field had to compress into that reality to fit into it, and that I was more expanded by myself. But I didn't understand that at the time. It just made me feel like a misfit, like I didn't belong anywhere. What am I doing here? And of course, that was a very good indication of being a wanderer. And then when I started to really experience my expansion was when I started playing music and traveling around the country, because I would say that it was the first time in my life that I didn't feel trapped. Otherwise, I felt trapped. My shoulders were tight. It was like I actually was in pain. I didn't understand it. And it was when I was traveling that I untrapped myself. And when I look back on it, because I didn't understand it at the time, but when I tried to look back on it and explain it by the things I've learned since then, it was that when I was traveling, I was disconnected from everything except playing music for people and doing astrology charts. I was doing astrology charts at the time. And the things I were doing were very high levels of service. They were uplifting things. It was very magical, and I had all these synchronicities daily. And yet, as soon as I stopped traveling, it would collapse again. It was, when I was traveling, it was as if I was almost anonymous. There was no recognition. There was nothing to hold on to. There was only the moment that I was engaged with somebody, that I was playing music or doing something. And I was getting really, really good feedback from the universe that I was contributing to people in that way. And when I look back on it now, I see that it was my way of being able to expand my hologram in a way that I could feel I was really who I was. And so here I am walking around with an expanded hologram, and I still keep getting trapped. I didn't know how to take that experience of being untrapped and turn it into a life, other than being a wanderer and being disconnected and going from town to town, sleeping on people's living rooms, because whenever I would stop and try to make it more substantial, I would feel trapped again. And then I'd feel trapped for a while, and then I'd rebel and do something rebellious, and going back and forth between trapped and rebelling. So I remember I would be traveling around the country and doing all this, and then I got a job in Philadelphia for the summer selling soft ice cream in South Philly for 3 months because my parents were there, and I felt like I'm supposed to develop a career. I don't know. Maybe I did, but somehow I didn't think I was supposed to be an ice cream man. Well, what happens is there are people who have the talent to channel. And it's a talent like playing a guitar. Perhaps it's something that goes back ancient. They're very old souls. And they've had this experience in higher realms. But like everyone, they're in this realm and they're trapped. And they can't just start channeling. I mean, can you imagine, take yourself in your life, and you're married, and you have a comfortable life, and your husband comes home, and you suddenly start channeling. You say, honey, I'm talking to the Elohim. He says, what? And why would they bother talking to you unless there was some way to make a difference in the world? Now, I should say, they will talk to people and give them guidance. They'll come in on Dreams, the Ra Group, and they don't have limitations. But usually, if they're going to do something like they did with me, they're going to do it because the person that's involved is going to get it out there and make a difference, and hopefully won't get corrupted. What is the corruption involved? Well, the person's ego gets involved, and they say, wow, I'm talking to the Elohim. My God, everyone's going to love me. I'm going to be famous. Now, I'm not saying that never crossed my mind at different times, but as I saw that how it worked, I said, it's got to be way beyond that. It can't stop there, because now it loses its co-creative flow. So what happens is a person that is an old soul that has had these connections in the past, and maybe in their life they've been somewhat trapped by the circumstances of their life, meets someone who's got an expansive energy and suddenly triggers them back to the place where they can make these connections. And then channeling is the result. And so Terry and Daphne both had been adepts of some sorts of making connections. For example, at one point Daphne did readings at the local metaphysical shop in Northern California. Now, she was probably channeling, but she didn't call it channeling. It would just be psychic, or I don't even know what she called it, but they certainly didn't have names, and they didn't say, this is the Ra Group, and we have a message for you. And Terry had gone through a period, which we have sometimes talked about, where she would attend channelings in Los Angeles of this lady by the name of Cheryl Taylor, who I believe was channeling the Council of Light. And at one point, Cheryl was teaching people, and Terry went in front of the room, and it seemed like Terry was channeling. Now, at that time, I knew Terry. In fact, I dropped her off at Cheryl's house one time. I didn't even want to go in. I was not interested in channeling. I was afraid that something would take me over. Some of you listening to this can be have that fear that you're suddenly going to become a blind follower to some huge intelligence in another realm that's going to tell you what to do. And I was afraid of that. But in any case, Terry and I, even though we've known each other all this time, she never started channeling with me because I wouldn't have known what to do with it. I would have probably ran away and said, she's too crazy. This is too weird. And so it's a combination of two factors. One is you need someone to hold the hologram, the expansion, and then you need a person that has natural talent. I'm sure there's people that have natural talent that never do it because they never run across someone to hold the energy. And Carla Rucker has this very precise ritual that she does before she channels. She has three people around her. They put in, they light a candle. They have all these things to make her feel safe. And so in the terminologies that I'm using now, it was myself and the other person would create a group energy. And the channeling would come through our group energy. The group energy would create protection. Those of you on this line have been feeling those energies on the line that I keep saying this is a group energy. But you know what? Where did you ever hear a group of people coming together creating a group energy by intention? That's something that I've learned by doing these calls. When we create a group energy amongst all of us on the call, it creates protection. Because what we have is a oneness, an energy of oneness, which they can become one with the oneness and talk to the oneness that we've created. And we give them, I'm not saying this is true, this is my take on it, we give them the platform to talk to us. And so I said there were two things about why I was a good person to do this job, as I've learned it in retrospect. And one of them is that I can hold the space of expansion that creates group energies. It's like what we do on Sunday. I didn't know I could do that. I probably had some experience of creating group energy when I used to perform and play music, although I wouldn't call it that. I would say there was that moment when I was in front of an audience and everything stopped. The energy became so delicate. I could feel everybody. They could feel me. And in retrospect, I was causing a group energy to create through my music. But I didn't understand it. I didn't have any vocabulary for it. But I did have the experience of doing that. So the other aspect of this that makes me a candidate to be able to do it is the fact that I had been a performer, that I'd been in front of audiences, and that I created group energies, even though I didn't know I was doing that when I was performing. And that it's within the ability to do that that creates the environment that makes it very easy for them to talk to us without there being a them-us. There's just a we. And that my ability to talk, to not take myself seriously, to be funny, is all part of creating a group energy that creates comfort. And some people take it as irreverence. And I apologize if it appears that way, because there's an aspect to this which is very sacred, and I recognize that. And I also recognize that part of me that can connect with people on a human level in a way that is an enjoyable connection, that can be funny, starts to create the bridge that makes it easier to open to those energies. Now, one way of looking at it, and this is just, again, reverse engineering, okay, is that at a certain period of time, we got comfortable enough with the energy where they stay in my field, and they stay in Terry's field, and that if you connect in an authentic way, their energy kind of moves through the connection to you, through the human side of us. And that is something that some of you are starting to understand, because you've been coming to these calls long enough where you're learning that they're in your field. They really are there. And that you can connect with somebody at different times, and it becomes very magical, the connection. And they may not understand what it is. They may not understand it's the Elohim. And then I started to realize they were monitoring me, because that it was really unusual for someone to be doing what I'm doing in a public way, because oftentimes people do this in private and in secret. They don't want anyone to know about it because it gets corrupted so easily, because it could be dangerous. It could be dangerous because on one level, it threatens a lot of people's belief systems. So I was a little bit nervous about going out in a public way and in a way that can threaten people's belief systems, in a way that, you know, you could leave yourself labeled to be something negative, or this is the guy Jesus warned us about, or whatever. So it was a learning experience to be able, which everyone who's listening has helped immensely with, because you have helped create the acceptance that says this is possible. We're in a laboratory, and we're doing things that haven't been done, not done very often, especially in this way. And so when something hasn't been done, you don't know it can be done until it's done. And the fact that we're doing this, and that you're there, and you're part of the doing, you're not just listening, you're part of the doing, keeps teaching me how to do it better, and Terry how to do it better. And so that's why I think, in my own words, my own perception, that I'm important to the process. And at those moments when you're listening to a call and it seems that I'm being irreverent, I hope you'll think of this if you happen to have listened to this one and realize it's part of the process of making it ordinary. See, the problem is you have something which is both sacred. It is sacred. It traditionally, it gets put on a pedestal. It gets exalted. The people that do it get exalted. And suddenly it's like, I could never do that because they're special. And what we're meant to learn is, maybe you're not going to channel. Maybe you're not going to be as entertaining as me. But everyone has that ability to connect with them in their matrix. They're connecting. I can feel it. They're connecting with you all while I'm talking. I can feel the energy coming in. And as you connect with them in your matrix and learn to be comfortable with their presence, you'll find yourself being in the world and being a liaison in your own way, through your own personality, of that energy to other people. And they may not know it's the Elohim. They may not know it's the Ra group. If you start talking about it, they may think you're nuts. You know, the smart way to introduce this to people is to make them read my book. Or don't tell them anything and call them up, invite them to a grid healing just before the call. Because when you're living with people in a community, you don't want to be branded as being a wacko. And that's why people don't talk about it, because once you open the door, now people are going to have a judgment or an opinion. And if you're strong enough in yourself, you don't care, and you'll do better. But most of us, I mean, even now, I think all the time about different things I do. It's like, can I do this? Is this going to screw it up? Am I going to damage my credibility? I have to weigh that, because you do one wrong mistake, really big mistake, and and it's like when you're doing things publicly, you can't ever take it back. It's done, and if it's really a big mistake, you'll have, everyone will be talking about it. They'll be talking about you behind your back. They'll say, you see, when did this? When did that? Blah, 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 blah. You know, when was at the show and he looked at this woman. Did you see how he looked at her? Oh, my God. You know, it's like whatever comes up in terms of judgments, then it reflects on the work. So it becomes like you got to be really good so you're a good representative for the work. But you're still human. And so here I am talking, and somebody is thinking, why isn't he letting Terry talk? So, Terry?
I really like it when you talk.
You do? Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you talk about that experience of bringing in the hologram and how it makes it easy, how it makes the channeling easy. When I do that, you can bring the messages through, right? I mean, that's what I think happens. You can say whatever you want, but say it from your perspective, how it feels, because people are interested.
Okay. When curious, the frequencies that are very grounded and also are very high. And so when he's talking, he's not just simply talking into air. He is bringing in the frequencies of the earth plane and of the higher planes. And he's making a face, a hologram, that makes it easier to bring the Elohim and the Ra group in. So when he's talking, it's like he's preparing the way, the channel, the highway for the energies to come in, and he's starting to bring them in, like priming the pump, so that when I channel, it's all there, and it's easier for me to step into the channeling. So if he was just going to say, well, here, ladies and gentlemen, as Terrians, you're going to channel, it would be very, very much harder, because there wouldn't be all this preparation, this hologramic highway that connects me to the higher forces. So essentially, when Wynn talks, it's like making me more available and more connected. And giving me more of the ability to connect. So So I think it's important that people know that he's just not talking away egotistically or filling up the space when the channeling could be going on. He is preparing the way for the channeling and bringing in the higher realms, the frequencies, connecting them up so that it can be a successful channeling. Those are my comments.
And I think that also brings protection in. You see, if a person just brings in a voice from another realm, there's like hundreds of thousands or millions of entities in other realms that would love to talk to us, love to be paid attention to, love to mislead us if they're one of the really bad guys. A lot of them are not really bad guys. You know, I'm not sure what I'm going to say is true. I've read about it and there was resonance to it. That is, there's a lot of very wise beings that somehow got stuck on the astral plane and they feel isolated there. And oftentimes they'll find someone down here that they can speak through. And they're wise enough, and they say they're an ascended master. But they're very much in need of the attention of that communication. This is why, with channelings, you have to be so discerning. Even when something sounds like it's what we talk about, it could very easily be something mimicking that. I would guess that there's loads of beings watching us when we do this and we start to expand. We give them the access to pay attention. And some of them may be learning. I never asked that question. Maybe this evening we'll ask that. Some of them may be learning. Some of them may be looking for weaknesses and holes in the hologram. And you know, as a human, it's hard to figure all this out. It's hard to figure out what's up from down. So I've had to do a huge amount of reverse engineering, as I call it, to have some idea, to have confidence that in what we're doing. And one of the things that gives me confidence is the emails you guys send me that are having so much results and growth and connection because of the work we're doing. And if you think about it, it's amazing that we've put together a system that people can start listening to this, start reading the emails, and we don't even have to personally know them. Because this has happened, and then I get an email from someone who is far away, who's been listening to this, and then they tell me their life totally changed as a result of listening to my calls for a year. So that gives me the idea that, hey, maybe what we think we're doing, we're really doing. And it gives me the idea that this could have the potential to impact millions of people. And the constant thought is, how do we go from here to there? How do people get to find out about it? And I'm always experimenting, because if we can impact millions of people and bring these energies in like that, then we can make a serious dent on the consciousness of the entire planet. And right now, all of you who are volunteering, who are helping, doing anything, are making it one step closer. Because I don't feel alone. I don't want to be the single guy out there. And you're helping to be part of making me and Terry feel more secure. Because that's part of it all. In any case, You know what? I'll open the lines. Let me see what time is it. Terry is telling me we can't go too long. It's 7:46, and we can bring them in and ask some questions on this topic. But maybe before I do, I'll unmute everybody and see if you guys have any human questions to ask about what we're talking about.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Has anyone ever had the thought that I talk too much?
No, I think it's part of your process, man.
Okay. Is that Steve?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, Steve, you're on a speakerphone. I want you to tell you there's a lot of echoes. Anyone else?
I'm sorry. I'll get out of the echo.
Just when you're talking. I mean, I heard what you said, though. And anyone else want to say anything? Anyone have a question?
Wynn?
Yeah.
It's Lisa. Did you say we all have holograms?
Absolutely. The problem is we're not aware of our own hologram because it's like being in a city or being in the country. You know, when you first come there, you're aware of the scenery, you're aware of everything, you say, wow, this is beautiful. And after a while, it's just there. It's you. You live with it, and you don't feel it. It's like when you go from one situation to another is when you start to get the idea of you have a hologram. Like if you go from Los Angeles to Sedona, you're suddenly in this really nice environment with beautiful mountains where there's a lot of space and you feel your energy expand because you don't have people all around you. Or even New York City is a better example. People in New York City are contracted because they have to, like, build walls to protect themselves from all the people. So they don't have to, but in general, that's what happens. So they're all stuffed in the city. And when they leave the city and they go to the country, they say, wow, I'm expanded again. And they know there was a shift, okay? And their energy actually expanded. It wasn't just an emotional thing. Their energy, what I call their hologram, expanded. It's like if you come into a Sunday grid healing and we do the meditation and you feel that energy come in, or even when I'm talking at the beginning of this call, there were times when energy was coming in, which I think some of you could feel, and you could feel the contrast. Okay, I feel this expansion now, and now I don't feel it, and that's like an example of your hologram. And ultimately, your hologram is always changing. It's like when I talk and I feel expanded, it's not like I feel that way 24/7. It's like I move into the space of it. It's like as you learn to have more mastery, your hologram, what I'm calling your hologram, becomes more fluid. And it just constantly readjusts to whatever you're doing and whoever you're with. And it expands around it. It's like now I could probably be an ice cream man and not feel contracted because I know how to flow around that and hold my space together. But when I was younger, no way. It was like, what am I doing here? I mean, but I did get a little bit of expansion when I was in my Mr. Softy truck, and I would look out the window, and all these happy kids were running up. That was a moment of joy, right? So, you know, a hologram is not a rigid thing. It's an energy field that's in a constant flow. And, I mean, that's the way optimally it would be. For most of us, to some extent or another, our holograms are rigid. They become rigid and solidified by our environments, by our thought forms, by our, you know, many, our habits, by the fact that we haven't expanded for like 20 lifetimes. So the first time you feel that expansion, it's like, it feels like, I won't say a name, But somebody on the line sent me an email and said, when, guess what, I'm enlightened. Because it's such an amazing thing to break free of the contraction and to feel that expansion. But you know what? Until you learn that it's a flow, the key word is et cetera, et cetera. What's next? Because then you get into a flow and you don't hold on to anything. Or as the English poet William Blake said, he who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity sunrise. But he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy. I don't know if you guys understood that, but it's just another way of saying that it's all about flow. It's about letting your energy, like not holding on, not being rigid, and letting your energy flow from one thing to another. Like you can experiment, leave your home, walk around, stand in front of a store. How does it feel? How does my energy feel flowing into this store? And then go somewhere else. And how does my energy feel here? And you'll, if you really become sensitive, you'll realize your energy is always readjusting itself to the environment. And see if you can notice the readjustments. And you'll start to get the feel. How does it feel to be around this person? How does it feel when I come into the conference call? How does it feel when I'm in my apartment and feeling lonely for a week on end? And I feel totally stuck, and nobody cares about me. All, that is all your field readjusting. Anyone else have something they'd like to say? Ask, comment,
if
share.
If those who have speakerphone on, please press star 6 to mute yourself.
If somebody's got a speakerphone, and we hear your radio in the background. Okay, I'm going to mute everybody, and...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So that's one of the reasons these phone calls we do can be so important, because there is the constant reiteration of what I'm calling an expanded space, expanded hologram, that when you feel it over and over again, you start to own it. You realize it's not the call that's doing it. It's in you. It's your ability to hold those energies and learn how to work them. But at the beginning, when you first come across something like this, it's strange, it's weird, you have to check it out, you have to kick the tires, you have to make sure I'm not a psychopath and Terry's not schizophrenic, and all the ways that consensus reality has of invalidating something like this can be real. And then you start to feel the energies, and it feels different. You know, you come to one of these calls, and your depression lifts, the anxiety lifts, the call's over, you're in a certain state of mind, and then you have to say, what happened? How did that work? How do I have more of that? And so there's a learning by going into these calls, not a learning like, in school, where you're teaching something and you have to memorize it, there is a learning of how to expand your energies and how to hold an expanded energy in your body and in the space around you. And before you know it, you're lifting everybody else's energy up. And you say, geez, I always wanted to do that. And geez, I'm doing it. So, but it takes persistence. And I've watched people who are coming on these calls go through that, which is the only way I know it's working. I'll tell you what, we don't have a lot of time, and it's 7:55, and Terry said, she said...
All callers are muted.
Could we stop at 8? You know, actually, it's 7:55. It's actually 6:55 where most of you are. We're in Arizona, and Arizona doesn't go on daylight savings time. So, if it doesn't go off of it, so in any case, it's an hour off. But we could probably go for 10 minutes and ask some questions about this. See, I think one of the things is that when I can bring in the energies as a human, it makes a very strong statement that you can bring in the energies as a human, as opposed to always listening to an exalted source that can do things that we can't do. So it's the thing that we can do. We can do that. We can learn to hold the energy of the expansion. We can learn to hold the space where other people feel the energy around us, where the physical realm around us shifts and changes, and that you truly are a divine creature in a physical body, in a human body, and you learn how to work it, okay? Not just to claim it, but feel it, work it, and it doesn't matter if anyone else knows. That can screw it up. It's just like when I was hitchhiking, and I had all these miracles, and so I thought I was really special. I wanted to tell everybody. No one cared. It screwed it up. It was my ego wanting to tell people about all these amazing things that had happened to me. And when you can just take them in stride, the energy never drops. You just stay in the energy. So that's what we're learning how to do, all of us. I mean, I'm learning, whatever I do, I'm learning. I have no idea how to do this. And I have to constantly reevaluate according to everyone that's paying attention, because on a certain level, we are a group energy. This is my way of looking at it. We are a group energy in the physical realm. And at this point now, the energy of our group is something which is, I can access. I can feel it through the day when I look at it. It's like a stability. It's there. It's there for anyone. And some of you are feeling it because the reason it's there is because you're not just holding the energy on these calls. You started to hold the energy in your daily life. And so we're all inwardly supporting each other as a group. And we don't have to try. And if you're listening to this and you're not feeling that, or maybe you're feeling some energy on this call, I can only tell you, keep coming to calls, read the materials, listen to transcripts, and you still have a life, so you know you have to be in your life and live it. But there's a energy in all of this stuff that if you give yourself enough input, it will shift you. Are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, everyone on the replays, everyone on the downloads, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we await the entry of our sources verbally into our space to show their presence. Yeah.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We travel, extend ourselves, sense, move. Some of these words don't fully explain what we do, because we are from another dimension, in another dimension, in another density. And so we have the ability to be somewhere non-linearly, to appear. We look at planet Earth and we see the different countries and the different activities, much as one would look at a 3D movie and be part of it. And we extend ourselves to each and every person on this call, or each and every person who reads a transcript and wishes to make connection. Our energies are very delicate and very high, and our channelings, the transcriptions of the channelings, the book, the Creator God book, they all have the frequency signature that we carry. It is much like the tuning of a radio station. And we carry our frequencies. One of the reasons that we include parts of the Ra group in our channelings is to increase the frequency that we have available. So we increase the signature, the frequency signature, our imprint, that individuals can latch onto it and sense us better. Wind has a very broad frequency signature and carries the frequencies of the higher realms and the earth realm. So he makes a superhighway that helps individuals to be able to connect. We do not say up or down, because we are not connected with up and down, but we are able to locate ourselves non-linearly and in the midst of things. Do you have questions?
You know, we're talking a lot this evening about expanding holograms, contracting holograms. What is the benefit of expanding your hologram? Why would someone think that was something they wanted to do?
When we look at it from our standpoint, it is one can simply move into manifestation, and one has the ability to be very big and to take in very much space, or to be very infinitesimally small. It is like refocusing oneself to be very big and to take in a lot, or to move into a smaller space, or in the ultimate, one has the ability to step outside of the physical universe and to be outside of it, to be part of the being that has the ability to manifest or to not manifest. So you had asked about the advantages. Go ahead.
Would that be the woman from the Creator, or would that be the Elohim? Those realms.
That would be the one. That would be the one infinite Creator.
Someone has the ability to expand into the space of the one infinite Creator.
The one infinite Creator is beyond space. It is before space. And there are not a lot of words to describe this. It is like knowledge of all points.
Thank you. I had a very good question, and I just forgot it. It seems to me there's a very interesting, I don't even know the word, paradox, that as you expand your hologram high enough, you start to approach non-existence or chaos at the same time. Just as I was going to say something and I forgot it, that there's a connection, how do I verbalize this? There's a connection between chaos and all that is, that's very close, that maybe it is the ultimate of duality, that connection, that closeness. And am I correct, or can you say it in a way that how it appears from your position?
We do not see it in the terms that you are using. And one of the difficulties you are having is because you are in the before, that where there is nothing. And so, as such, the ability to framework things begins to disappear. When you mention chaos, we can see a randomness of the beginning of manifestation. However, in the place where there is no words, the place where the one infinite Creator, all words are to some degree meaningless, because in order to reside, which we would want to say where the one infinite Creator resides, it is before space, and so it is not truly residing, as there is really no place to be. It is before manifestation. It is peaceful. However, all words are indescriptive. They do not describe what cannot be described. It is moving into the mystery of the precursor to existence.
Thank you. Well, I could feel an energy as you were saying that. And thank you for trying to explain the inexplicable. And we're going to close this session. Is there anything to share with us before we disconnect.
In the space, which is not space, before words is what could be described as nirvana, which certain Eastern religions seek to achieve, rather than to come back over and over again into reincarnated lifetimes in seeking the exit and the entrance into the infinite. One in some of these Eastern religions feel, sense, know that they have then made it. We leave you with the precursor energy of this, the wholeness of this, the love that comes shining from this Adonai.
Thank you very much. And thank everyone on the line. Thank you. Terry?
To stop conference recording, press 1. To return to the conference, press star.
And just a moment.
All callers are unmuted.
Everyone's unmuted. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See you Wednesday.
Evening.